From the Bob Marley Studio in Orlando, Florida, you're listening to The Diz Unplugged. Hello and welcome to The Diz Unplugged roundtable discussion for the week of April 27th, 2011. From Orlando, Florida, I'm your host, Pete Werner, joined at the table this week by my good friends Walter Eccles, Teresa Eccles, Kathy Worling, Emil Van Leeuwen, and his lovely wife, Yvette Van Leeuwen. Saying it right, right?
Yes, okay. You are.
Van Leeuwen.
And back in the Peanut Gallery, Max Eccles. And we have dismissed the rest of the team so that those of us who were actually on this last Adventures by Disney trip could all sit at the table. We had a huge crowd in here today.
We did.
And there's also been a record recording week for us.
Wow.
I think we're going to have over 5 hours of content going up this week. Wow. We, of course, have our news and rapid fire segment this week. Kevin Close had a review of the restaurant J. Alexander's, which is near Disney. We also talked about our good friend Bob Marley, who passed away 3 years ago, remembering him on the third anniversary of his passing. And our Disneyland team will have their most recent episode of their podcast. So it's been a...
And emails.
And we had our email show.
All today. Wow.
All today. All today. All in one day.
Wow.
And so we got a lot going up. Of course, this is a show. The show is... This episode is about our recent Adventures by Disney Backstage Magic trip. Now, for those of you who are scheduled on this trip, we kind of go light on the details. We want people to experience it, so we speak more in general terms. We're not going to say specifically some of the things we saw and did, because that would ruin it.
It takes away from it.
And we noticed, you know, what was really fun on this last tour was that, because we haven't talked about some of the stuff on the show, that people were like surprised. They like things happened. Like, oh, you know, you didn't mention them. Well, that's why we didn't mention it.
I was really glad that there were parts that you didn't mention.
Right, exactly.
Really. It's a nice surprise.
Exactly. Because at first, like, when we did the first one, we were like, oh my God, we've got to talk about everything. And then John was like, no.
No, you're going to give it all away.
You guys didn't. Because normally I will go into planning, obsession. Right. And I stayed away from all the trip reviews and all the... I listened to you guys because I knew you were won't give away any spoilers.
Oh,
but
okay.
I was keeping away from it because I was afraid that somebody in some trip report did give something away,
right,
or
I
photos.
Could see that.
Or
right.
But what we're hearing is you know, a lot of the trip reports that are out there, whether on our site or on others, you know, we're staying away from certain things, so that, which was really cool. It's kind of like an unspoken rule.
Yeah, I was surprised because I did go look, and some of the things that happened, nobody mentioned them. And I thought, how cool was that, that all these people have taken this tour and nobody's mentioning them.
And we had special things happen on our tour that didn't happen on any others.
We did.
Yep.
We did. We had some cool stuff. And, well, that's what I kind of like, is that we've had the same of our Adventures by Disney guides. We've had one guide that has been with us for all of these, Michael Rodriguez.
Who's great.
If you are doing the Backstage Magic Tour.
Insist.
And you get either Michael, Dean, or Jamie, you are in such good hands. You are in such good hands. These are the best of the best. And just, Michael is tremendous. Michael has been so great with our group and has really, he's learned about us. He's really gotten, made it his mission to understand us and what we like. And, you know, we notice that on each trip, he's adjusting certain things and changing certain things. A, to keep it fresh for those of us who are going back on every single one of them, and B, because he thinks that, you know, just in case some things got out that were special on one of the previous trips, that there'll be something that nobody knows is happening. I guess his feeling is, if I don't know what's going on me, then no one else is going to know what's going on. So it's really, really cool. And we had Michael and Dean were our guides for this trip. This is the second time Dean has done this trip with us. And
he does an excellent job. Also,
these are both VIP tour guides at the Disneyland Park. So, you know, guest services in Disneyland or the Magic Kingdom out here is pretty much, you know, those are your top level cast members. But when you're VIP guides, especially in Disneyland, you are the best of the best, because those guides are the ones taking celebrities around. And especially out in California, lots of celebrities. Not that we don't get them out here, but, you know, that's where they live. And Disneyland is such a part of the culture in Southern California in a way that it is not here. So these VIP tour guides are really outstanding. Dean and Michael both, many, many years working as VIP tour guides.
And they work Disneyland. So well together.
They really
yes,
do.
They
feed off each other.
Their energy together is just incredible. And that really made this trip, I think that was one of the things that made this trip special. Yes. To the point where I'm asking Adventures by Disney to make sure that for all the future trips that we do, Backstage Magic, that I would really like Michael and Dean being our, because they really know how to do their job.
They were outstanding.
And, you know, as we'll talk about in a little bit, some unexpected things happened. And we got a chance to see what guest recovery is like, ABD style. And so we're going to talk about that in a little bit. For those not familiar with this tour, this is a look behind the scenes in Hollywood and Disneyland. So we get to go a lot of places. We go to the El Capitan Theater. We get to go backstage at Jimmy Kimmel Live. We get to one of the coolest aspects of the tour happens on your first full day, and that's when you get to visit the Jim Henson Studios, which is, again, that's one. It's like Jimmy Kimmel, the tour of the El Capitan, and Jim Henson Studios. Those things are not open to the general public. Those are not tours you can just take on your own. That Disney has arranged these tours specifically for this group. So, and there's a lot of that on this trip. As a matter of fact, I think with the exception of maybe the soda fountain, is there anything on this tour that is available to the general public?
The train thing once a month.
Well, that's the Walt's Barn. Yeah, that's open to the public. You're right.
And the normal stuff you do in the parks,
of course. But that's on your own. That's when they do stuff and they let you go do that on your own. But I'm trying to think. I think everything on this tour, pretty much, with a couple of exceptions, is just stuff you can't do anywhere else. And if you are a confirmed hardcore Disney fan, this is your trip to Mecca. I mean, you know, it's just, you walk
pretty much hollow ground there.
It really is. It really is. Also part of the tour, the visit to Imagineering, which is always a highlight. There are some aspects of this tour when you've done it four times that are like, okay, whatever. But that's not one of them. It just doesn't get old. And, of course, shopping at Mickey's of Glendale, which is the Imagineering store. Unreal.
I was the last one to walk out.
Yeah, you were the last one online, yeah. Of course, going to the Walt Disney Studios.
That was a big, big thing for me. I wanted more of that. I wanted a lot more of that.
Yeah, I could see that.
But
and again, not open to the general public. The backstage tours we do at Disneyland, and we're going to go into a little bit of detail on some of this stuff, but the backstage tours at Disneyland, stuff not open, not offered to the general public. You get to see things that you just don't see. Up to and including Walt's apartment, which is a real tearjerker for a lot of our guests.
Oh, yeah.
That go on these. Now, we charter the Diz Unplugged along with Dreams Unlimited Travel, of which I am an owner, so I do have a vested financial interest in these tours. We sponsor these trips. These are exclusive departures just for our group. There are no outsiders on these trips with us.
Intruders.
We have done three of these. We are doing three of these trips this year. We had one in February. This one we just took last week. And then our next one, which is sold out, is July 31st through August 5th. We are going to be doing more of them next year. But, and we're nowhere near ready to announce anything yet, our intention is to offer some of these trips that are a little different. These Backstage Magic trips may be enhanced a little, changed a little, based on our recommendations. So, but we're in the process of working that out. But there are more of these trips coming up next year if you think this is something you might be interested in. So our tour starts out in Hollywood at the Hollywood Renaissance Hotel, which is a lovely hotel. I mean, it really is. It is located on the corner of Hollywood and Highland as part of the Hollywood and Highland complex, which also includes the Kodak Theater, which you may recognize as the home of the Oscars, which is why it was built. It's also the home of the finale of American Idol. I really wish they would include a backstage tour at the Kodak.
Yeah, that would have been
nice. They did it one time, and they stopped doing it. I'm not sure why. Mm. But those tours are open to the public. There are those tours are they do have those tours open to the public. Maybe that's why they stopped doing it.
Yeah.
But what was everyone's impression of the hotel, the Hollywood, the Renaissance?
I liked it.
I liked it too.
Yeah, yeah, it's nice. It's
okay. Good location. I felt safe.
Yep.
Well, you feel safe in that immediate area because they really keep it clear.
Yeah.
But you walk a few blocks in any direction.
It gets a little scary.
You don't want to be out there on your own.
Oh, it was colorful, though. It was just real colorful. I mean, I wouldn't be out there walking by myself.
Characters in bad costumes? Or?
I just found it. It was just fun. Wasn't it, Yvette? Don't you think it was fun?
Well, no, look. You're safe. You're safe going up to Grauman's Chinese Theater and that stuff. I'm talking about if you go a couple blocks past that in any direction, now it starts getting seedy.
You really don't want to be
there. They do a great job of keeping that element out of Hollywood and Highland. They really do. But, yeah, I mean, out in front of Grauman's Chinese Theater, you have lots of people in bad costumes, bad Batman costumes, Spider-Man costumes.
Yeah, Spider-Man in his jammies kind of was a little weird. But.
Yeah.
But the hotel had a nice little lounge.
With the lounge lizard.
Yeah.
Yeah, with the little pseudo Frank Sinatra singing there. I thought that was really nice.
He had a great voice.
He did.
It was also gorgeous.
He was a good-looking man.
He was.
Just the fact that he
said it was just fun.
But he can't perform.
The fact that he sat there and read the words was kind of
if you have to sing with your lyrics in front of you, then no. That's not...
I thought it was fun. You know?
It was fun.
Well, I mean, I wasn't paying that much attention. I was just listening to him in the background that I didn't get the impression that he was reading, so...
He did a good job.
I think that might have been part of his act.
Yeah, I was going to say, I thought it was part of his act.
I don't know. He was good. That was fun. And it was nice that it was right there if you just wanted to go down for a drink or, you know.
There's also a terrific restaurant located in that hotel called Twist. Now, I can't speak to it for, like, lunch or dinner per se, but, you know, we've had many buffet breakfasts at Twist with $23. That's all you can eat. And that may sound expensive, but... They will make you steak and eggs.
Yeah.
They will make you pretty much anything you ask for. Mm-hmm. I wanted Eggs Benedict, and they made them for us.
It was good, too.
And they have make great omelets, and they have a really nice selection. They also have a very healthy selection as well.
They did.
For people who are more
health
conscious. Yeah. Lots of fruits, but like carrot juice and fresh carrot juice. Like they're making it there. So, I mean, there is a lot of options for everybody. $23, considering what we'll pay for a Disney buffet sometimes.
Yeah.
$23 is pretty reasonable.
For what you get, it's perfect.
And also, you know, the Hollywood and Highland is attached to the hotel. I mean, you literally walk out the back of the hotel, you're in the shopping and dining complex. A lot of cool stores there. My favorite place to eat in Hollywood is in that complex. It's called The Grill.
That was excellent.
Perfect dinner.
Every time we're out there, we eat at the grill, and every time it is a magnificent meal. It's expensive, to be sure, but it's a really nice place, and they have no attitude if you walk up dressed in jeans and shorts and a t-shirt or whatever. They're really, I mean, and the food is amazing. It's something I highly recommend. If you're doing this tour, dinner at the grill. Because I think it's our first night we have dinner on our own.
Yeah, it is.
And that's a staple. That's exactly where I'm going. I'm going to the grill.
And it's good food.
It really is.
It's amazing.
Now, of the first day, which is the Disney Soda Shop, the El Capitan Theater, and Jimmy Kimmel Live, Jim Henson Studios, the Walt Disney Barn at Griffith Park, which is where Walt's barn, literally from his old house, was moved to, because Walt was a train enthusiast, so he built his trains and worked on his trains in his barn, and they have a mock, you know, model train that you can actually ride around this park. Let me just ask everybody first, what was your highlight of that day?
Jim Henson.
Yeah, me too.
I think it all was, but personally for me, when we were sitting there and they're like, who in the room knows the most about Disney? And everybody sort of turned around and pointed at me.
At breakfast, yeah.
Because I was like in the back of the room having my own misty moment that we were here, we were finally doing it, and they all like turned and pointed at me. I'm like, oh.
I'm being put on the spot.
Yes.
Yeah, they do a little trivia thing at breakfast.
Which was fun.
It was fun. It always is. It always is. What was your highlight, Teresa?
During the day for the historical part, I really like the Jim Henson Studios because of the history there and what has happened at that location. Just kind of, I was just like having a chill the whole time I was there, just thinking about the past. But when the lights went out, it was Jimmy Kimmel Live, the actual taping of the show. Was a blast. The people I went to, a group of us went, and it was just pure fun.
Yeah, I think
we've never done that.
Pure absolute fun.
I think I want to do it.
I had to drag Kathy there. She didn't want to do it.
I think the people that we were with made it. I don't know. Okay. Jimmy Kimmel.
Yeah, Jimmy Kimmel. I mean, it was good. It was entertaining. But the whole fact that, you know, we're standing out there in line, you know, we get in, the whole practice clapping and the practice laughing and just the whole procedure leading up to the show coming on was the most fun. Mm-hmm. It was just, you know, watching Joe go up there and juggle with nothing.
Joe was, well, tell the story.
Well, the warm-up comedian that came out, he asked me if I had any talent or any special gifts they could, you know, show us. And Joe, without hesitating, he was like 18, 19 years old,
18.
Raised his hand and he's ran down to the stage, you know, and we're all going,
like.
And we didn't know what his talent was. We're all sitting there going, oh my gosh, what's he going to do? This is going to be so cool. I know him. And he gets up there and he says he's a juggler, but he didn't have any balls or anything to juggle with. And I thought that was just funny the way they played off of that. And just, I mean, it was great. He showed no fear. It was just so cool seeing a young kid run up there and just, you know, be himself. And then they ask questions, and it was fun. I just really enjoyed that night.
Now, while Teresa and Kathy were at Jimmy Kimmel Live, and while Yvette Emile, Walter, and I, and some other people on our trip were at dinner at the grill, I saw the email come from Corey because Kevin's mom was very sick, still is very sick, that they were not going to be doing a show this week, and we decided to do a show. Decided to do a show from the hotel, and of course you can listen to that. That was last week's show. Very impromptu, absolutely zero prep, and it was fun.
It was fun to do.
It was fun to see you guys doing it.
Well, first we were trying to figure out where we were going to do it, and I knew that our hotel, because we had about 8 or 10 people with us that were either going to be on the show or wanted to sit in. And I knew I couldn't fit them in my hotel room. And so we found a spot up by the pool deck. But I've also done enough in Hollywood and in Disneyland with my camera, because I've got that big scary camera that I carry sometimes, to know that the minute they see anything that looks like professional equipment,
they freak out.
So I knew this was going to be one of the scenarios where I didn't want to get interrupted in the middle of a show with a security guard going, you can't be here. So we went and asked the hotel manager if it would be all right. And she just kind of looked at me like, no, not really. I'm like, okay. She's like, if you can do, you know, if you come back tomorrow, I can talk to our media relations people.
Gosh.
I'm like, I couldn't. You know, the next day was a very busy day. I was not going to be able to record the show that day. And so I just said to her, do you have a suite large enough to hold 10 people that I could rent for the night? And she did, and that's how we did it. And we got one of their studio suites. And, you know, there wasn't enough seating for everybody, but everybody sat, you know, people sat on the floor. I think Emil stood. for most of it.
How fun, though. I mean, when we went to Jimmy Kimmel, they had taken our phones and our cameras away when we went in. And when I came out, and, you know, I'm thinking I'm leisurely going to go get something to eat, chill out for the rest of the night. I turned my phone back on, and it's like right in a row, Nancy and Walter texting me. Blah, blah, blah. We're doing it. We're doing a show. We're doing a show.
Doing a show
and
now.
Walter was sending me to one suite, and Nancy was sending me to another suite. And I'm thinking, well, where are we supposed to go? And
then we
ran across the. It was like, oh my gosh! It was like some weird out of body experiences. We're running across the road trying to get to her because we thought, okay, we're late. You know, and it was weird. It was fun though. We were a little excited when we got there. I don't know if you noticed or not.
No, just a bit. You worked up.
Didn't notice it at all.
No.
But it was really fun. It was really fun to do that. And, you know, it's not the ideal way to do a show, but we had missed a few weeks, and I wanted to make sure we didn't miss any more. So I figured, you know, I've got some of my team here. We've got some listeners. Let's do a show.
You and Kathy's enthusiasm added a lot to the show.
Yeah, I really
because
did.
Because
you guys were so hyped up after.
I mean, we just literally walked out, you know.
Which was really cool.
Nothing better than... You know, Gary Busey and Courtney Cox to get y'all hyped up.
So we had decided, though, that night that on the bus ride between
Hollywood, between
the Disney Studios and Disneyland, that, you know, usually that trip lasts about an hour and a half, maybe 2 hours, depending on traffic. So I figured a great opportunity to record an email show. So I put a call to arms on my Facebook page. I need email questions for a special show tomorrow. And we got inundated. We just got inundated with emails.
Good questions, too.
Great questions. And we let, you know, we would read the questions and then let people on the bus that were traveling with us answer them. And that turned out to be so much fun. We're making it a part of all the future trips. That on the Backstage Magic Tour, at the very least, on the bus ride, on that long bus ride, which actually turned out to be a lot shorter. I think we were there in an hour.
Yeah.
But time just went by so fast.
It flew.
Yeah.
It flew. It was a great way to spend that hour. And people seemed to really enjoy it, both on the bus and people who listened. So that was a lot of fun. But so talking about Tuesday and talking about Imagineering and about the Walt Disney Studios, highlights, what stands out to you?
Imagineering.
Was there anything specific about Imagineering?
I think seeing the models that they made for the expansion they're doing in Disney World right now.
That was
exciting.
They had
a lot of Fantasyland expansion. Yeah.
That was cool to see that, to be right there where they're working on
exactly.
it. That was a really big highlight.
And then some of the models that were going to go into the restaurants and stuff that they were, you know, carving out of styrofoam.
Yeah.
Behind nice. You, it's yeah.
Well, we saw the paintbrushes for Animator's Palette that was going onto the ship. We were there one time and we saw them, and now they're the columns.
They're there, yeah.
On
the
Dreams.
And the enthusiasm of the people that work there, that's what got me.
Our host at Imagineering is an Imagineer named Dave Fisher.
Well, he's great.
Who really, you know, unless he's a great actor, really seems to enjoy doing these tours. He really does.
He's not an actor.
He really enjoys
them. We were talking to him when we left Mickey's of Glendale, and he really said that he really enjoys working with groups like this that know a little more about Disney, but also are not afraid to admit that they like or even love Disney.
Yeah.
Well, that's it. You know, I get the impression that they don't get a lot of opportunities to meet their public. Meet the people who really appreciate what they do.
Yeah.
And, you know, as artists, which every Imagineer, I don't care what they do, if you work in Imagineering, you're an artist. Every artist, I think, likes to get that
confirmation.
That confirmation. Yeah, exactly.
And we bring Disney geeks. So they're
and we
real.
Bring, yeah, we bring the hardcore.
You know, that soundstage that we went to in the dark. Yeah. Where it felt like, you know, that they
was
were
cool.
That they were putting the hat on your head.
He was real soft-spoken, but you could tell how much he loved
it. Oh, my God.
Really
enjoyed he loved it.
And I love that part of the tour because it's dark and I can take a nap. Like a little power nap. I mean, it's cool. I mean, it's one of the ones, that's one of the things that, you know, in your fourth time, it's like, okay, yep, I did this when it was in MGM Studios, and I know the routine. Just turn off the lights and let me just close my eyes.
I enjoyed it. I thought
it is. It's cool the first time.
Just amazing.
Do it again. See what you think.
I know how it works. So for me, that was like one of the lesser.
Oh really?
Things for that day, but choosing between Imagineering and studios, it's.
Well, what about the studios? Did you like?
Being in the archives. That's like the archives holy grounds. Are cool, yeah. That's just going like to be there, and but also when you've got the Walt Disney treasure boxes and all stuff that you see from the studios, it's the ground that you can't enter, and you're there. You're standing on there, just seeing the statue, seeing the building with the Seven Dwarfs. You're seeing the sign of Dopey Lane and Mickey Avenue, and that's just
some pretty cool stuff.
Yeah, it's really just goosebumps from arm to up into the sky
for me
and
too.
Back.
Those older buildings, and you know who walked down those halls, and you know they were right there. That's what freaked me. I was like, oh my god,
seeing Walt's office. It's from outside, but.
But still, he was standing right there at one point.
Exactly. Yeah. But, you know, the thing about it is that, you know, we walk through the old animation building. And a lot of people get disappointed because they think we're going to go in and we're going to see something and we're just kind of walking through it. That building now is all, like, leased out to production companies. And what is just a knife in my chest is knowing that Walt Disney's old office is leased out by Sean Cassidy. Mm.
Oh, yeah, they mentioned that.
Okay, Sean Cassidy and his production company have Walt's old office. And I'm like, oh, that's just wrong. It's just wrong. I'm sorry, it's wrong.
But the building's still there. You know, it's not torn down.
It's
still continuing working.
It is. And, you know, things have to evolve and things have to change, and that's the nature of it. And I get all that. And so I understand. It would make me happier if, like, I don't know.
Somebody else.
Like A-list person was up in Walt's office and had that. That's it. I mean, nothing against Sean Cassidy, but
that's a little bit in Imagineering, like a little schoolgirl standing there going like, "Oh, should I go in or say hi?" Because it's probably the grandson of Bob Iwerks was his office was there and he was sitting in his office and was going like, "Hi." Just
yeah, he actually popped his head in on the last trip. He actually popped his head in on the tour.
Oh, wow.
You know, was really cool. I mean, that was just...
So right now he was working on some production, and I was going like, okay.
If that was like stalking him.
Just standing next to the door and going like...
Well, the problem with Imagineering is that as you walk through the halls, it is just loaded with the coolest artwork.
Yeah.
And I think that should be part of that tour, is just letting us roam the halls. And, I mean, obviously not freely, but... Because we'd end up in offices.
Look at the pictures and stuff out of there.
We'd end up stalking the men's room, like overhear conversations. But, you know, there's so much artwork. And that's one of the things that people, you know, that because with the ABD guides, there'll usually be one in the front of the group and then one in the back to make sure everybody keeps up. And, you know, they're always like, okay, come on, we got to keep going. And people are like, wait, I want to stay and look at this stuff. I want to see it. I want to appreciate it. There's some great stuff I haven't seen before. And I just Imagineering is loaded with that. So that's definitely one of the highlights of Imagineering for me. I love just, you know, I've done it 4 times, so I'm able to, like, focus on different parts each time so that I really, like, spend a little bit of time just, like, really absorbing it.
But have they slowed it down? Because I had you had me believing that I was going to be dead by day one from the running.
Walking through the halls quicker than they normally do.
You know, it's tough because I will say that 3 of the 4 tours that we've done, the pace has been hectic. And, you know, almost to the point of being uncomfortable at points. I don't know what it was about this tour other than that Michael and Dean obviously worked the schedule out a certain way so that I didn't feel rushed once.
No. I kept waiting for it. Didn't you, Kathy? Yeah, I kept waiting for the, oh, my God, I can't keep up. Because I can't keep up with you in the park, Pete.
And I know, that's pretty sad.
That is sad. So I'm thinking, you know, I'm going to be left in the dust. They're going to be dragging me through here in a rope. But I never felt rushed. I never felt like I was left behind.
Yeah, that was the same for Mickey's of Glendale. I was standing there and going like, okay, I've heard that there is little time in here, and you have to rush, and you have to get
yourself. Well, they also gave us a full hour in Mickey's of Glendale, which is unusual.
I was going like almost hyperventilating, walking around, going like, oh, how much time do I have got? How much, I want to see this, I want to see there, and I need to go there, and I didn't do that part of the story. And then I heard, okay, you've got 1 hour left, and I was going like, ooh, cool down. Time enough, plenty of time.
And the same with the commissary, lunch at the commissary.
Didn't have to rush through that either. No.
I had plenty of time in there.
And then some.
Look around and, you know, try to imagine what everybody's doing there.
Last time we really
didn't.
You ate and...
Well, no, it was packed. Yeah, and the food, I thought, was okay. I mean, it was good.
It was. It was good.
I had good food.
Was it me or was the studio store just not that...
Lame.
It's not that great.
I know Kevin really liked it. I never have. The studio store on the Walt Disney Studio lot, it's got two sides to it. One side is like a Disney store, a basic Disney store with the stuff you'll find in any Disney store. The other side is smaller and has some things, especially pins, that may be unique to the lot. But outside of that, it's really nothing major.
It was really like a little convenience store for the people that work there is what it made me think of.
Exactly. Yeah.
I still managed to spend over $100 in there. So
really,
mm-hmm.
I bought a T-shirt that was like 75% off. But other than that, you know,
it was like the side of. I went into the side that was like, oh, this supposed to be special stuff, and I could buy their UCLA T-shirt, and I was going like, I've been to UCLA, that same T-shirt there. This is not special Disney stuff.
And then even when we got done in there, we still had time to stand around outside and talk a little bit and chill.
We weren't rushed this time.
So there was, or as Michael and Dean were saying, chillax. That was their word. Chillax. Chill and relax. Yeah. Chillax.
While we were there, too, the thing that I was, I don't know, impressed by or struck by was the hospital, like right across the street.
Yeah, the hospital where Walt died.
Because I always thought that was like a distance away. But really, if he would have had a room with a view... He could have seen.
Yep. So after the studios, we head down to Disneyland. We have our dinner at Steakhouse 55, which everyone seemed to enjoy.
It was good.
Steakhouse 55, one of our favorite places to eat, but it has been moved to second place now. Of the places I like to eat at Disneyland, the number one place right now for me is Catal.
It was good.
It was okay.
You didn't like it?
It's not to my liking, but my food was good.
Oh, excuse me. Elizabeth over there. It was not to my liking. We love it. We love it. We've had a couple of really good meals there. The prices are reasonable considering what you're getting. It's in downtown Disney, and you never have trouble getting a table. There is never drama getting a table.
I would say or remind people that when they go to do this, it's not like you have plenty of time to go back to your room and change your clothes and go to these meals. Most of them, it's sort of like you drop your bag off and you head back downstairs.
Yeah. Well, that was one of the complaints that I had. I don't see why dinner has to be at 5:30. Really and truly. They really, but from the time that we get, that's one of the things that just annoys me about this trip, that from the time that we get to the hotel after this doing the studio, and the time we have to go to dinner, we're lucky if we have an hour. We're lucky.
Yeah.
That may not be so bad if you were dealing with generally competent Bell Service staff. People have heard me rail on Bell Services at the Grand Californian. It took them an hour to bring our bags up.
Really?
Well, it took a lot longer for you because your bags weren't there. But... you know, for us, it was like, okay, you know, I really want to change before I go to dinner because I don't want to smell like all day the way Kathy and Teresa did.
The next day.
And, the next day you smelled like yesterday.
Our bags were in our room when we went up.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Shut up. Wow. Emil.
They really were.
Mine were still in my room, too. Oh, yeah. The wrong room.
Yeah. We had some friends that were sending out, that sent us a package, and I asked for it, at the bell services. When we arrived at the hotel, we first did another key to the room card made, because it was only on Emil's name and I wanted one of my own to have as a souvenir and to get in my room without having Emil holding my hand.
Because he doesn't share, we know.
Yeah,
okay.
True. And I told him it was UPS that sent it, and it wasn't. It was USPS.
United States Postal Service.
And we got in the room, and I like 3 minutes later, they gave us a phone call. They found it,
your package.
They were sending it upstairs.
Well, that's
good. We had like in 20 minutes, we had everything in our room.
Wow. Well, this is you know, just an example of the complaint I have. There, it's inconsistent.
Yeah,
it's inconsistent, and it's been inconsistent for years. And I'm not the only one who's complained about it, and I'm not the only one who's complained to the hotel about it. And the hotel really hasn't done much to change it, honestly. So it's I just have my issues with the Grand. But I know a lot of people love it, so I'll gloss over it. But I'm sorry, go ahead.
It's the same with the rooms. You guys had like the valet parking, you had a parking lot, and we had the beautiful courts
side with the
monorail going through.
Right.
And it was gorgeous.
And most of the time, that's what we have. This is the first time we've got a parking lot.
The enchanted parking lot view.
Yeah, that's what
Walter called it. But the big issue that happened when we got to the Grand Californian was that Teresa and Kathy did not receive their luggage.
We got back to the room after dinner and went to the park, didn't we, for a little bit?
Yeah.
And we come back to the room, it's about 10 o'clock.
And they run off?
And our luggage,
you back home?
And our luggage was not there. And I called, you know, you get our guide's number, and we got connected to Michael, and I got his answering machine or whatever. And I said, Michael, Kathy and I would really like our jammies and our toothbrushes. We don't have anything. And he called me right back. And he's like, you know, and we're trying to figure out all the scenarios where it could be. Could it be with Walter and Pete? Because Walter and I have the same last name, you know.
At which point we received three separate phone calls in the span of about 20 minutes asking us if their bags were in the room.
And they came up twice, too.
And eventually, the last time they called, I'm like, okay, she's my sister-in-law. If her bags show up here, she's the first one I'm going to tell. So, no, they are not here. You can please stop asking. They are not here. We have looked under the bed. We have looked in the closet.
Oh, we looked all those places, too.
I think they
put it on the balcony.
I think they called everyone in the group.
Oh, they did.
They did, because Michael said, well, let me find out what's going on, and I'll call you back. And a short time later, he did call us back, and he said, we're checking with everyone in the group. Some of them aren't back yet from the parks. Some of them have do not disturb signs on the door. We'll find out. Then a short time after that, he knocks on our door and he hands us this little ditty bag. And inside it were two matching T-shirts for us to wear to bed and little toothbrushes and, you know, all the little things you need. Well, not all the things you need, but what can get you through the night. And I'm thinking, okay, well, this is it for the night. So we put on our matching ABD T-shirts, really cute, big oversized shirts. And then he said, well, we're still working on it. He never stopped working on it. And then about 12:30,
yeah,
we get another call from Michael, and he says, let's go shopping. Let's go down to they're opening up the gift shop for you. Let's go down and find you something.
Which I thought was really awesome.
It was
really cool. Yeah.
The manager, and they had a security guard down there with us, and Michael and Dean met us down there, and that was the oddest, fun, yet odd experience.
We went between being really mad to being in giggles.
Yeah, it was like, okay, this is just freakish. I'm standing here with these two guys, and they're picking out. Dean's walking around trying to find a shirt for me to wear. Oh, this would look wonderful on you, Teresa. And then it just dawned on me, I'm going to need something for the underside. I'm going to need some panties. I'm sorry. And then Michael, without even hesitating, oh, they have panties, and pulls out this, hands me this panties extra small, and I'm like, okay, what am I supposed to do with these? And then he just closes his eyes and hands me the whole basket. Here, pick out your size. I don't want to know what it is. And I mean, they walked to see the whole store, letting us get what we needed. So we picked out, you know, shirts, jackets, whatever, combs, whatever we needed, which was wonderful. They didn't, you know.
Now, also of even greater concern was that Kathy's medication was in her bags. And I know it's going to be and it's going to be easy to say, well, she should keep her medication with her. It's not like we were flying.
Right.
We expected our bags. Right. We expected our bags to be on the bus with us, just, right, you know, down in the cargo hold.
I did the same with my medication.
Right.
It's also in the bags.
Yes.
And we debated over it. Well, should we put our laptops down there? You know, because for a minute you're thinking, it's going to be on the, you know,
it's
because,
be
and let's tell why this happened. When we checked into the hotel early on Friday.
Right. Well, it's important. One thing that's important to note. I booked our pre-stay on my own. I did not book it through Adventures by Disney, not for any other reason. Then it was just easier for me at that moment to go onto the Radisson website, plug in my, you know, my loyalty club number and
get our rooms
and get our rooms and got a great price on them, you know, and I just didn't think about the master rooming list. Now, what they did do, the original rooms that we had were on the master rooming list for Adventures by Disney. So Renaissance knew, okay, these guys were the Adventures by Disney. Let's make sure they make it onto the master list. What happened when we checked in, the room for Walter and I was ready, but the room for Teresa and Kathy was not. And they offered them a different room. And they said, sure. And that's what happened. ABD had the old room number. They did not have the new room number. We didn't think to tell them. They didn't think to ask because nobody, you know, everything was fine. Yeah. They had rooms. They, you know, there was no complaint being made.
No problem.
So it really just turned out to be something that simple. And it turned out that, you know, because when we called the Radisson or the Renaissance, I want to keep saying Radisson. We called the Renaissance to find out where their bags were. They went back to the room that, because, you know, ABD is telling them it was room
1310. And we were in 910, which is, you know, and in Michael, we never, you know, we told him we were in what room we were in, but he was saying, you know, both of them ended in a 10. And when we check out, well, go back a step, when we check out of the Renaissance, we're all to leave our bags in the room, okay? So when...
Right by the door.
Right inside the door. So when Bell Services come, and they went down the list, and they went to room 1310 and checked, and there were no bags. Our room number was never on their list.
Right.
So our bags, which we fretted and cried and worried about, never left the spot we left them in.
They were locked up in their room, and Renaissance didn't find them until the next afternoon when housekeeping went in to clean the room.
But all that day, our first day at Disneyland, our first full day there, I mean, picture if you will, I'm wearing my Mickey shirt, my Mickey panties, which weren't comfortable in any way, shape, or form. I was clean, no makeup, and I just, everybody in our group was so sweet. You know, don't give me any, they were giving us sympathy, they were giving us support, offering us articles of clothing. I mean, it was just wonderful, but it was just it started out kind of a freaky, shaky day, but by the afternoon, when Michael came up, drenched in sweat, with a smile on his face, and said, "We got your luggage. It's on its way." And then I'm like, "Okay, this is." I mean, they worked above and beyond, and all night.
Never stopped.
They never stopped. They were scouring our hotel, Grand Californian, because we really thought it was there. We really, you know, because at that point, the room mix-up had never occurred to us. So, I mean, they were going door to door in that hotel.
We were on a first name basis with Bell Services.
Oh, yeah. Travis. Shout out to Travis. Boy, he was sweet as can be. And something else I found out was Sephora, downtown Disney. I was just in there looking around trying to, you know, figure out what I was going to, if I needed to get anything in case my luggage didn't show up. They gave me samples of almost everything that I use, which
That's
just
really
amazed
cool.
me. Oh, yeah. I mean, it was just amazing that. It was just,
and she also stood there and listened to us because we wanted to tell everybody our story.
Oh my gosh, poor pitiful us!
But after your luggage was found, you were almost crying over
that luggage exploded in that room like it was, you know, Christmas. Oh my gosh, look what I brought with me!
But you already almost hugged your luggage, going like, "Oh, you were so alone for 24 hours, and oh, poor little bag."
While I'm not glad that it happened to you. This is the first time on an ABD trip something significant has gone wrong. And I have to say it was really cool to watch them do their thing.
And they were nervous. They were, because they had not dealt with this before.
And they know that, you know, that we're not just any group. We send a lot of business to ABD. both through these groups and What Dreams Unlimited travel books. We book a lot of ABD. So, you know, there was that factor too. I won't deny that that didn't play a role in it. But again, you know, something that Adventures by Disney does really, really well, very consistently, is who they choose to be their guides. And I've said it to them multiple times, whatever process you go through to pick your guides, don't change a thing. Because every guide we've ever had in all the ABD trips we've taken have been superb. And then you see where that pays off when something like this goes on, because you have, we had two people who were working the phones and coming up with every conceivable option and not letting it go and not acting like, look, they'll turn up. They took it seriously. And
we tried our best to keep it light.
Yeah.
And
but you were understandably upset.
I was upset, but still, you know, they took a lot of our, because I kidded them a lot about it during the day while my luggage was out there, Lord knows where.
Yeah.
You know, I tried to keep, you know, mess with them a little bit. I had to do that, but
yeah.
And then when they found it, we just sort of said, hey, maybe next time you should, you know, and I said what I had to say to them and then said, thank you for everything that you did, because it wasn't that they intentionally did this. It just happened.
It was an error. It wasn't even necessarily their error. It wasn't the hotel's error.
It just happened.
It just happened.
And I made sure I called Bell Services at the Grand Californian. They were nothing but good to us.
They were. They were very good in that situation. I mean, they really were.
And opening up the store for us, and you know, the poor security guard, all he could do not to laugh his head off. I said, it's okay to laugh. This is kind of funny, you know. You know, because he was trying to be serious, like, this is a serious situation. And it was serious with Kathy's meds and, you know, but it all worked out. It kind of bonded our little group together.
But at the end of the day, they made it right. They really did do backflips to make it right. So let's talk about some of the stuff that we did at Disneyland on the tour. This is one of those tours that really kind of builds to a crescendo. You know, the first day is cool, the second day is cooler, the third day is cooler than that. And this is the day where we do the backstage tours at Disneyland and at Disneyland. What was the highlight of the Disneyland tour day for you guys?
Breaking down three rides.
That's right. Yvette was breaking rides. Yeah.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Well, they tried to put us on
Indiana
Jones.
Indiana Jones, that broke.
Yeah. Then we went
Big Thunder Mountain.
Big Thunder Mountain with the poo dirt on the seat. So I was cleaning that up, and then the ride broke down. It's kind of like, okay, I just cleaned your seat, and now I'm not going to ride it.
And then finally, you made it onto the Matterhorn.
Yeah, the Matterhorn was riding.
Yes.
And then in the evening, we went to use our fast pass at Space Mountain. We were in line, and the ride broke down.
Mm. Wow.
We've never had this many rides break before.
How cool was it going into the park with nobody there?
Yeah, you go into the park before it opens to the public, which is a very unusual sight unless you go and do the tour four times, where you get to see Disneyland with no people in it.
Perfect pictures of the castle, because no one's in front of it.
No one's in front of it.
And I know why.
But you can't see if they're standing in front of it.
No, and I know why that castle is so small at Disneyland.
Why?
So even the dummies can make a picture of the castle, just the whole castle,
get the whole
in
thing
one
in
picture, and not cutting off the top of it or whatever. It's just,
I love the castle. I like,
yeah.
It's adorable. It's an adorable little miniature castle.
You could put it in your pocket.
And yes, Mary Jo, I'm specifically saying that to rile you up. One of our good friends, Mary Jo, we always get together with while we're out there. That's how I get her. You know, I crack on the castle.
Yeah, she don't like it when you mess with her castle.
She doesn't like it. But they, you know,
but you know, she's a tiny little woman, so that's the type of
castle. It's larger for her, yes.
Yeah, it seems larger for her.
You know, in scale, it's a massive castle for her. Oh man,
we are
so gonna get it. But you know, it's also, you know, you got to keep in mind that, as I said before, Disneyland in California has a different clientele than Disney World does. A lot of locals go to that park.
Oh, yeah.
That is a locals' park. And they have a sense of ownership in that park that we just don't have here. It's a part of their culture, really. Disneyland is just something they do and something they love. And it's really cool. It's really cool to see that. And it's really cool to see that kind of passion from people who aren't necessarily huge Disney fans otherwise. But Disneyland is their park. So, yeah, they get upset when you crack on their castle. It's the original, yeah. But they improved upon it when they built ours. So there's that. and, you know, of course, the most coveted part of that day, or at least for a lot of people, is Club 33. This is never guaranteed. It's so important to underscore that if Club 33 is available, if it is available, then we have breakfast there. If it's not, we don't. And it's never guaranteed, and you don't know until that morning. I don't know until that morning. And believe me, I try. I try and find out. And, you know, it's been four times now, and this time Michael just looked at me and goes, when are you going to give up? I don't know. They're not going to tell me until tomorrow morning. I don't know.
We were teasing Michael with that. Walking back from Steakhouse 55 and going like, oh, tomorrow, do you know anything about... And he was going like, about what? And we were going like, 33. And he was going like, no, my age is 34. And it was just teasing back and forth. And yeah, it was cool. But being in Club 33, that was cool.
It is a great experience. And like, again, it's that there's the tension for me on these trips leading up to that day. Because I know eventually one day it will happen. Where a group won't get 33. I know eventually it's going to happen. I hope it doesn't, but it's one of those things. It's just one of those things. And we can't guarantee it. So I am literally on pins and needles the entire trip until that happens. And then when we get there, and 'cause usually Michael will give me a heads up that morning. As we're walking, yeah, we got it. We're good. And then I breathe a sigh of relief. Because if not, I'm going to spend the rest of the day consoling everybody on our trip. Sorry, you didn't get it. But it is important to note that it is not guaranteed, and no one should ever go on one of these trips expecting it, because there is a possibility. There is a real possibility we won't get it.
But we did, and the food was good.
We did, and the food is delicious, and...
Merchandise is fun.
Merchandise is cool.
Just looking around
at it is amazing.
I mean, the restrooms are gorgeous.
The women's restrooms in particular, from what I understand, are quite a religious
throne
experience.
Like, yes. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Very royal.
Because my mother didn't like it. My mother was, when she went in there last time we did it, she's like, what do I do here?
Yeah, really?
She's like, this is weird. Was Club 33 a highlight for anybody?
Yeah.
Definitely.
I liked the front room where the microphones were in the light fixture.
The trophy room.
Yeah, the trophy room. That, to me...
That's interesting.
...was, you know, the biggest part of Club 33 for me.
What else? What else was enjoyable about that day?
I liked being able to just walk onto a ride when they walk you to a ride. You know?
Yeah.
I just thought that was cool. I
love that too.
Okay, well, it's like almost 9 o'clock at night.
They walk you onto a ride.
You know what?
It was good times.
The thing that I don't want to say I was disappointed in, maybe I had it built up more, but Walt's apartment. And I almost hate to say that because it was, you know, it's such a big deal, but I know we had a lot going
on. I've not
that day.
Heard that from anyone.
Did you think it was going to be more opulent or larger?
No. At that point, though, you got to remember, Kathy and I were still stressing.
Yeah.
And we were still kind
of... It was bitter party of two.
Especially
about the medication. Yeah. Stressing out.
You know, the day was wearing on and...
But still, when the guide goes, oh, sit down, make yourself at home. I'm like, okay, none of this is anything from Walt.
Or we wouldn't have been sitting on it, right? It was actually his...
No, I mean, all that stuff was, you know, some of that stuff was there. A lot of the decorations were put in by Diane Disney Miller. Because when he died, the family took a lot of what was in there in terms of the decorations. But no, those beds and stuff, that's all authentic to the place.
Because she made it sound like it wasn't. And I'm like...
That was my understanding. I could be wrong, but...
I mean, I like the patio where they could, like, see...
Oh, that was neat. That's the best.
You know, like, the people coming into the park. But I don't know, I guess...
How many people? I was standing there looking over the little trellis on the patio.
Yeah.
How many people are going to take pictures and go home and say, what are these heads up here? I didn't get to go up there. What's that up there? I thought that was funny. And the same with Club 33. When by the time we got done eating, the park was open, and we're out there on the little... You know,
balcony,
and people are looking at us like, whoa, how'd they get up there?
That was the same for the Dream Suite.
Yeah.
They were looking up at us, and we were going, like, waving down to them.
We're special, sorry.
You get to see a lot. And, of course, the last day, we go into California Adventure for the Adventures by Disney portion. That's kind of a short day because we're done by about 10. But, of course, we have plussed our trips this year with what we call Lunch with the Imagineer, Marty Sklar, where we have a private lunch set up at the Wine Country Trattoria. And Marty Sklar comes and very generously talks. Because Marty, I will tell you, Marty does not charge us anything to come and talk.
Wow.
All he asked for was that we purchase the books, A Brush with Disney, about Herb Ryman, but the artwork of Herb Ryman, who was one of the more famous Disney artists, and that Marty will personalize and autograph each one of those books, and they send them out. So as long as we cover the cost of the books and the shipping, Marty comes and does. And all the proceeds from that book go to the Herb Ryman Arts Foundation, to which Dreams also donated an additional $2,500. As a way to say thank you to Marty for his generosity. We wanted to kind of step up. And
it looks like Marty enjoys himself so much when he does that.
And I got to tell you, you know, there's something I've noticed about the Imagineers, all of them. They are just not comfortable with adulation and praise, and they don't like it, and it bothers them. You can see it. And I've learned it with Marty, because the first time I met him, it was like pretty much like on my knees genuflecting. And then I noticed that kind of made him uncomfortable. So the last few times, I've really just tried to be like, hey, Marty, how are you? Good to see you. Chit-chat.
Kathy and I were
But you see, chit-chat with Marty Sklar, he starts talking about some cool stuff. I mean, he started talking about Shanghai Disney.
Yeah.
And, oh, they're planning to do this. And, yeah, they gave me a presentation, and they're doing this, and they're doing that. And I'm like, oh, my God, oh, my God. And you're really trying not to be, like, big, gay Disney geek. I go, oh, Marty! So I really, really try, you know, and it takes effort. I got to be honest with you. It takes real effort.
I had the opportunity because Walter and I were down and we met Marty and we first argued about, was he Mr. Sklar or was he Marty?
No, I told you it's gotta be Marty.
So he said Marty. So then I got to escort him over to the elevator. And so when we got in the elevator, he said, so what's your favorite part of the trip? And I had, you know, anybody who knows me knows I'm never speechless. But he said that, and I went like, and I had a moment like, oh, my God, I'm in the elevator all by myself with Marty Sklar, and I'm talking to him. And then I went like, oh, yes, you know, and I got back into my – but it was so nice. It seemed like we had the longest conversation, and it was only one floor in the elevator.
And then he, you know, he sits down at lunch, and he just – the stories he's telling, I mean, it's it, – you know, some people say, oh, I've heard Marty speak. I'm like, you haven't heard this. You may have heard Marty speak. You haven't heard this because most of it is him taking questions.
Yeah.
And then he'll take a question, boy, he'll run with it and he'll tell you.
Oh, yeah.
So it's different every time because it depends on the questions that are being asked. Yep. And then he takes time to take pictures and sign autographs.
And he asked every person, or he had a conversation, I think, with almost everybody that brought something up to be signed.
He did.
and can't think. Becky is doing engineering, and he had a nice little discussion with her about engineering and what was she taking, and the next person. But it's like he was listening. Where you see a lot of celebrities, it's sort of like, yeah, so what are you here for? You could tell Marty really cared, and he really enjoyed every minute of what
he was completely doing. Unpretentious. He is completely not impressed with who he is. And somebody said to him, he's like your uncle.
Yeah.
You know, it's how
that's
he comes across, that kind of warmth.
Grandpa
that kind
or of, something, sitting there at the table.
Well, I think uncle is probably
he has
nicer.
Some genuine interest in the people that he's meeting at that point. Well, we go like, oh, this is Marty Sklar, the Imagineer. And,
but you know,
and he's going like, no, and you are Yvette, and I want to learn to know who you
but
are.
But don't you think...
And he made them... I'm sorry, go ahead.
He was just a guy doing his job for his whole life, you know?
Yeah.
It was just the job he was doing turned out to be amazing.
Yeah.
And, of course, he made the mistake of mentioning to Yvette that he's going to be in the Netherlands giving a lecture. So, like, Yvette is, like, already, like, mapping out stalking routes.
To come
I'm
over
gonna
for dinner.
Call Nancy for some stalking tips.
You should. Nancy's real good with the stalking, yeah.
But I think he
I love you, Nancy.
I'm not speaking for him, but I think he probably enjoys being in a room of people who understand Disney. Like, you don't have to explain Disney to us. We get Disney. Yeah, and when you're in a room of other people that are like that, how
it's
great is
it's the same
that?
With Dave at Imagineering.
Yeah.
It's Marty has the same thing.
But you also, there's something I've noticed in meeting Marty Sklar and meeting Bob Gurr and meeting Charlie Ridgway. People who worked hand in hand, day by day, with Walt Disney, when they talk about him, they talk about him in a way that only the people who have been there can do. And they talk about him as a man. They don't talk about him as a legend. Whereas the people who haven't met him, you know, talk about him with a... And it's not that they're disrespectful in any way, shape, or form. And there is obviously a love and a reverence for him when they speak about him. But they just talk about him in a way because they knew him. They knew him as a man. And they worked with him as a man. They saw him in every scenario. They saw him as good. You know, I was shocked to learn that Walt was a yeller. That Walt could really get his backup. And there's Max getting his backup. You know, I was surprised to learn that. Like, oh, yeah, you know, you never said no to Walt. You said yes, but. Yeah. You never told him you couldn't. If he said, can we do this? You never said no. You said yes, but it does mean that we're going to have to do this, and we're going to have to do this, and it's going to cost this, and we're going to have to invent that, and... So you never said no, because if you said no to him, he'd find somebody else who would do it.
But isn't that neat? I said, that was what I was thinking, is we have these treasures of the people who worked with Walt Disney that, like, the next generation's not going to have, that we now can talk to people that had worked right alongside Walt Disney, and we have those stories. When they're not here anymore,
that's, we're going to lose. I think about that all the time when we do some of these interviews that Dave does in particular. And we have some of these encounters like we're having, you know, on these backstage magic trips that we are, you know, in a very, very, very small way helping to preserve some of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think it offers perspective. That's why I say this trip is really a mecca for Disney fans, because it gives you a perspective of the studio, Imagineering, the people, the theme parks that you just can't get on your own. You just can't.
You know, one of my favorite memories, and I don't know about the rest of you, was the night that we did Haunted Mansion.
Oh,
and
my gosh.
We all did this spiel together.
We were alone. It was just our group in the elevator.
Oh, that's
for the elevator.
And, well, and this was also the first group that we've done that we had kids.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's no restriction on children on the tour or coming with us. They're welcome. Our first one was adults only. But subsequent to that, we don't have that restriction. Children are welcome.
Up to age 4 or 6, I think.
I think it's 6. And I got to tell you, traveling with an 8-year-old, a 14-year-old, an 18-year-old, and a 19-year-old, or 20-year-old, I think that energy really helped make this trip special. Yes. When I think about why was this trip special in a way that the other ones weren't. Not that the other ones weren't special, because they were. They really and truly were. I'm not trying to be, you know, I'm not trying to placate anybody. I've loved every one of these trips we've done. I've loved every group we've gone with. But there was something different about this trip, and the only thing I can point to is the fact that we had this, that young energy on the trip with us, to the point where, like, I want to encourage more of that. I would love to see that on every tour. You know,
it's a family thing.
Little 8-year-old Stephanie, first of all, who is just adorable and smart and loves to learn about how things work and look behind the scenes and asks really intelligent questions. She's asking better questions than some of the adults were, I think. I mean, she just incredibly smart, incredibly articulate, very sweet. Then Ben, who was 14, who was just an angel. I mean, this kid was so great.
He was our buddy. Yeah.
Just great energy about him. Joe, who's 18, getting ready to go off to college.
Very outgoing, very enthusiastic.
And just that he's that kid you want to hang around with all the time. You could have him around constantly.
And no matter who he was, he could talk to anybody.
He's my adopted son now.
Yeah.
And then you've got Kara, who's like
a wild card.
She's like this nuclear energy plant this with legs. I mean, she has this energy, and she's fun, and she's upbeat, and she really enjoyed being around everybody and getting to know everybody and seeing all this stuff. And there was just this awesome energy there. And I think that just made the trip that much better. Mm-hmm. You know, I wasn't worried about having kids on the trip. I was hoping that it would be interesting enough
to hold
them
their attention.
But all of them are hardcore. Yeah. All of them are hardcore fans. All of them.
Yeah.
And they loved it.
But I would say for a family, what an awesome trip. I mean,
expensive.
Expensive, but if you can wing it,
do it.
Well worth it.
It's an awesome trip.
Yeah. What memories they have as a group, you know.
Amazing.
And this has really become one of those trips that I look forward to. I'm really looking forward to our July 31st trip. I'm really looking forward to our London Paris trip.
Absolutely.
In September, and I wish I could make announcements about 2012, because we're working on some absolutely awesome stuff. We really are. And I love that Adventures by Disney is just so receptive to our group, and so
accommodating
to our group, and willing to make changes to what they do to, you know, to enhance the experience we have, because we are a unique group. Not everybody that goes on these tours normally is as hardcore Disney fans as we are. And so they know that, and they change it up, and they do things to it that really make it, I think, special for us. And
some of the extra things we did, too, before we got out there early.
Yeah, we were able. That's right. We were able.
Oh, that's right.
We took a Walter's. This is the second time we celebrated Walter's birthday in California.
Oh, so before we forget, I want to thank everyone on the trip for the nice birthday present I got. They gave me two Southwest decorated gourds by an award-winning artist, D.R. Nance, who is a member of my tribe, the Lumbee. He lives out west, but he's an award-winning artist. And they got me two pieces of his work, and it was beautiful.
Absolutely stunning.
I actually sent it to my cousins that night, and they were just like, oh, my God, that is so beautiful. You know, my Indian cousins. And they were just like, oh, that's gorgeous. I can't wait to see them in person. So it was wonderful to get that. And a lot of people gave me stuff for my lanyard to walk around.
They gave, the first night of the tour, they gave Walter a special lanyard that they wanted people to find, like, all manner of tchotchke that could be attached to it. So he's got this really, like, packed lanyard with all this cool stuff all over it. It's really neat.
It was neat.
But I wanted to do something special, you know, on Saturday, the day before his birthday, but that was we would have a full day to spend. And I know that, you know, he's wanted to go see the San Diego Zoo. So I thought it would be cool for Kathy and Teresa and Walter and I to get on an Amtrak train. We got a train out of Union Station in Los Angeles. and took Amtrak down to San Diego, which was a lot of fun.
It was.
And from the hotel, we took the subway to Amtrak, which everyone wanted to be a weenie and said, oh, let's take a cab. And
oh, I'm like, please. I was all up for that subway.
You were not.
I was the only one who said, let's.
Let's live on the edge. Let's get on the subway.
It was very exciting. That was quite an adventure.
The train ride was relaxing. It was fun.
Nice.
It was great. It was just watching the scenery go by. No worries.
Because
just,
we have driven before. And like Pete said, I won't drive in L.A. I just don't like it. I won't do it. So we go. We have a really good day. We're all tired. And then Pete has to drive 2.5 hours back, which is not fair. So taking Amtrak was just so nice. We went, enjoyed the entire day. Got on the train, took the train back. It was a long ride back.
Just the only problem with Amtrak is that it's like $40 round trip per person. Yeah. So it's not, you know, it is cheaper to rent a car and drive, no question. But you're so much more relaxed getting there and coming back when you don't have to drive. It really is worth the money. So we got down there and we went to the San Diego Zoo. Actually, the Amtrak sells a ticket that is includes the bus. You get off the train and San Diego, and you get on to a bus that takes you right to the San Diego Zoo. And I think we were all kind of disappointed with the San Diego Zoo.
Yes. It was nice, but it was hard to see the animals. Mm-hmm.
There was a lot of empty cages, and it was too confusing because we know we kept going through the same areas, but we couldn't seem to escape from the route we were on.
I don't think there was enough time because we didn't see half of it.
No, I don't think we did.
We really didn't.
No.
But it was a good day. It was a fun day.
It was a fun day. But I had a lot more fun the next day, the day of his birthday, going over to the farmer's market.
Oh, my gosh. Wasn't that fun?
That was a lot of fun.
And
Nancy and the kids and her husband.
Right. Nancy Johnson, her husband, and her two kids joined us. And we just kind of...
And Tammy was with us.
I went to a barber shop there and got my hair cut.
I have a picture if anybody wants to
see. I have them too, but I was threatened.
You've been threatened with your jobs if those pictures see the light of day. We went and did some shopping and we had lunch and it was a beautiful day. And I bought Walter, I think the best piece of technology for him since his iPad. His Jamba Bluetooth stereo external rechargeable speakers.
Jawbone,
right. And you better get rid of it.
I just want to show him.
And that's me yelling at you. That's a picture of me yelling at you. These speakers are amazing. The sound these things get, because there's an Apple store there.
What a cool Apple store.
It's a great Apple store. And, of course, as an Apple store, I can't pass an Apple store. I mean,
I had those on today. I mean, in my house, I was amazed at how loud they get. For some reason, the acoustics in the hotel was not as good. But I turned them on today, and I'm like, wow, I can hear that throughout my house.
They're $200, worth every penny. And also, not only are they great external speakers that travel with you, it also acts as a speakerphone. Like on your iPhone or something, which was really cool.
That's cool. That whole area was well worth the trip over there.
Yeah, it really was.
The shops,
It's like, you see a $10 cab ride to get to the farmer's market?
Yeah, it was about $10 to get there from the hotel.
And then the fun we had in the taxi on the God. Way home.
Oh, dear God. We almost died coming home.
But it was cool. I mean, I don't know. That was an absolutely fun day. All the different types of food at the farmer's market. Have you tried your pasta yet, Pete? Oh, my God.
No, not yet.
That sweet potato pasta.
Is it good?
It's amazing. It's amazing.
Yeah, we had that was an awful lot of fun. It was, we found some clothes for him. Walter bought some new hats.
And more hats.
So that he can kind of like maybe retire the Indiana Jones cap that we've got in Australia.
Now he's got this Bobby Darin straw hat.
Oh, it looks so good on him.
It does look good on him.
It's good, yeah.
Real retro, I like that.
Some new t-shirts for him. I love clothes shopping for him. I love it. It's like playing dress up.
A lot of nice gifts for birthday. So that it was a really good birthday being out there.
I'm glad. I really wanted it to be a fun day for you. And
it was.
The whole trip was amazing.
Because as it is, you keep traveling to California on these trips on your birthday. So, and of course they, getting the artwork from folks
was really special.
It's really nice.
It was very nice.
So, I mean, overall, an amazing trip. Everybody really seemed to have a great time. Had a lot of people come up to me and say it was the best vacation ever.
A lot of tears on the last
one. A lot of tears.
And it wasn't all me.
There's always crying, but not like that.
It was not all me.
No, it wasn't.
No, she was not alone.
They gave me a box of tissues on the last evening, and I was not the only one using them.
You were handing them
out. I was handing them out, passing them around.
It was
necessary.
There were some boohoos going on.
It was. Yeah. It was. I mean, we just had a great time. We had a great time.
Was there anybody that kept it dry?
I don't know.
Was there a person that kept it dry?
Can't think of anybody.
No, I don't think.
Even if they weren't openly tearing, it was an emotional.
Yeah.
It was great.
A bonding experience.
Yeah. It was. It was awesome. I loved getting to know everybody and getting to spend that time with everybody. And
everybody brought something unique to this trip. Absolutely everybody.
Yep.
Brought, except Emil. Everybody brought something
new. Oh, wow.
No.
Wow, wow.
Come on.
Oh,
now
you know.
She had to go
He's
there.
Part of the nether people now.
He's the nether people. Yeah.
And that's then, Ben came up with that.
Yeah, Ben came
did he come up
yeah,
with
that. Yeah, Ben came up with nether people. Yeah.
He said he wants a segment, Ask the Nether People.
Ask the Nether People.
Being the Disney geek, then I also took some inspiration from our Disneyland correspondent, Tony Spittel, and did something out in Disneyland Park. I did two things out in Disneyland Park. And then when we landed here in Orlando Saturday morning, I went to Magic Kingdom and did the same thing here. So
how in God's name were you able to do that? I couldn't function after that flight.
I just knew I had to do it, and then I went home and collapsed.
I made it home to the bed.
Now. Yeah, and I just went straight to sleep.
Yeah, Katie's like, come on, I'm tired. I'm like, wait a minute.
You're tired?
I just flew, cross country and did all this stuff, but that was cool getting to do that.
I mean, yeah.
It was a great trip. It was an awesome, awesome trip.
It was. Thank you, Pete, for letting me go.
Yes, you're very welcome. I was so glad to have Vet and Emil on this trip. I know we've been talking about that, and I was glad you guys got to join us for this.
It was nice to meet the agents that went on the trip.
Yeah, we had a few Dreams agents on this trip as well, which was really cool.
That was nice. That was nice, because working at home, we really don't ever get to talk to our coworkers, really.
Not the way we can on these trips.
Yeah.
Right. Not the way we can
on these
trips.
So that was very nice.
So it was a great trip, and for those of you who may be interested in joining us, stay tuned. In the next couple of months, we'll be announcing the 2012 itineraries that we're planning, and hoping to announce them either before or during our next Adventures by Disney trip, and hopefully we'll have some major, major announcements to make with that. I'm crossing my fingers. But that will do it for this segment of the Diz Unplugged. We hope you enjoyed it, and we will be back with you again next time with another episode of the Diz Unplugged Roundtable. Thanks for listening, everybody, and remember, stay out of the damn lakes.